the last number of weeks. As you know, the sisters have been working with the community on the 33 days to Morning Glory, or the Marian consecration to Jesus through Marian. So just to kind of put that in context of what does that, you know, what does that mean for us, and what do we, why would we do that? My first exposure to the Marian consecration was in the seminary, and I was, I think it was the first year or so that we had it, and one of my buddies, Dave, he says to me, he says, are you doing the total consecration to Mary? And I'm like, I don't really even know what is the total consecration to Mary. He says, well, there's like this 33-day preparation period, and you say these prayers, and it's in this little book thing, and then at the end of it, then on the feast day, on a certain feast day, you make your consecration to Jesus through Mary. And so I was like, you know, I had a lot of new seminarian zeal, and so I was like, that sounds hard, that must be better, so I'll do it. And so we started out, and sometimes we would pray the prayers together, but I would try to keep up on them most days. And so finally it was on the feast of I made my consecration on the feast of the Assumption. And it was something very beautiful. And I really do believe that it really was the beginning of an incredible time of grace and a period of grace in my own spiritual life, because it was shortly thereafter that I got to know the missionaries from South America. It was shortly thereafter that I met my spiritual director from St. Charles, who was a great Mariologist. And it just really helped me to grow in that devotion. So later on, when I was a deacon and as a priest, I've done similar to what the sisters are doing, working with people to go through that consecration to Jesus through Mary. So what exactly is it, and why do we do that? Why do we need that? St. Louis Marie de Montfort identifies this moment that we read in the. I was always kind of confused as a little kid. Because I always thought that the Immaculate Conception referred to the conception of Jesus. And so I was like, okay, so we're December 8th, you know, Christmas is less than a month away. I was like, how does that all work out? But no, it's not the conception of Jesus, it's the conception of Mary and the womb of Jesus. And I think part of the reason I was confused was because of the reading that we have. And what does it talk about? It doesn't talk about the conception of Mary, it talks about the conception of Jesus. So why does the church do that? And doesn't that lead us to a lot of confusion? Well, the key to this, to understanding why the church has it, is because within this is the scriptural reference to the Immaculate Conception. If you were to read this in Greek, the greeting of the angel is, when he comes in, it says, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And this is the first part of the salutation of the Hail Mary that we pray all the time. In Greek, it's Kyrie Maria, Hail Mary, Ke Karito Meni, Kurios Metasu. The Lord is with you. Or Hail, full of grace. And the Ke Karito Meni is an interesting word, because it's a past passive participle in Greek. And I'm sure you're saying, what does that mean? Okay. What that means is that the word itself means one who is already, not one who is going to be filled with grace, but it is one who has already been filled with grace. Okay? So if we think about this, this moment of the angel salutation to Mary happens before the conception of Jesus, before the incarnate comes into the world to save us from our sins. But the angel is already referring to something that has already happened to Mary. She has already been filled with grace. And so the church sees in this the foundation of our understanding of Mary as the Immaculate Conception. Because Mary, in the first moment of her she was preserved free from the stain of original sin, so that she could accomplish the mission that God had given to her, the mission to become the Mother of God. Why was that necessary? It was so that Mary could give a complete and undivided yes to God. Because the incarnate Word of God demands a perfect response on the part of humanity. But which one of us can get up and say, yes, I give myself to God completely? Because we're all touched by a sin. And sin carries with it a certain amount of no to God. I give myself, but we always have a certain amount of reservations, even though we want to give ourselves completely. But Mary, being conceived without sin, could give that yes. And what happens when Mary gives the yes? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Mary, when she says, yes, may it be done unto me according to thy word, she gives her consent to God through the angel. And Jesus Christ is conceived first in her heart and then in her womb. And the one who will save us from our sins becomes incarnate through the yes of the Virgin. And that yes opens up to us the floodgates of mercy, the floodgates of love. And this, incidentally, I believe is why, I just thought of this, this is why the Holy Father chose December 8th to be the beginning of the year of mercy. Why? Because when Mary says yes, she in a certain sense says yes for all of us. Because Jesus comes into the world not just for a few, not just for the holy, but he comes for all of us sinners. So what do you have present here? You have Jesus here, or you have the Holy Spirit. You have Mary giving her consent, and Jesus becomes incarnate. So St. Louis Marie de Montfort, who's really one of the first authors to begin expounding on this idea of total consecration to Jesus through Mary, he sees that this becomes the prototype, or the archetype, or the if you will, the paradigm, if you will, for our spiritual regeneration in Christ Jesus. That when you have the Holy Spirit present and you invoke the Holy Spirit, you have the Blessed Mother there with her intercession, giving her yes, what happens? But Jesus Christ becomes incarnate. So when we are regenerated in our baptism, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes into us and it sanctifies us and makes us holy, and we receive the incarnate Word through the power of His grace. And so now, what happens in our baptism? St. Louis Marie de Montfort says that the total consecration is just really recognizing the reality, the whole reality, the full reality of what happens in our baptism. Because it's not just the Holy Spirit's there. Mary is present there in and with the church, giving her consent to the spiritual regeneration of this soul. So when we make our total consecration to Jesus through Mary, we're acknowledging the role that Mary, the essential role that Mary has in our salvation. Mary does not save us as Jesus does, but she does play an integral part in that spiritual regeneration of our souls. God has willed her participation. How do I know that? Because she was there right at the beginning. She gave her consent in the beginning. But it wasn't just in the beginning. But every time any soul is reborn to eternal life, Mary is there giving her consent, interceding. Because what does Mary want more than anything? She wants to draw us close to Jesus. She wants us to live in the love of Jesus Christ. She wants us to receive His mercy, His grace, His peace, to be reborn, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when we acknowledge, we make this consecration to her, when we give everything over to her, what we're saying is, I recognize the greatness of the plan of God and what the Father has willed to happen through, with, and in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so Mary is the one that leads us to Jesus. She stands beside us and helps us to know her Son. And she helps us through her intercession to receive the gift of God's mercy, of His life and of His love. What an amazing gift this is. And so for us to recognize what has happened to us in our baptism is a way for us to give a greater and deeper praise and honor to Almighty God and to His Son, Jesus Christ, who saves us from our sins. Again, Mary doesn't stand between us and Jesus, but she stands beside us and helps us to Jesus. Father Gately, in another book, The Consoling the Heart of Jesus, that the sisters will be using, he uses a beautiful image. And he has this whole meditation on the cross of Jesus. And as Jesus is there hanging on the cross, and this crowd is pressing in upon him, full of hatred, full of anger, and the demons are coming in and out. And we're there, and we see Jesus on the cross, and we see the hatred that people have for him, and the wounds that they are causing through his sins, and we see, you know, what can I do? But the Blessed Mother approaches us and says, do you want to go see him? So emboldened, we take the hand of Mary and we begin to walk through the crowd, and the demons begin hissing at her. Stop her! But they can't, because they're blinded by the holiness and goodness and the love that comes from her heart. And the passage opens for us. And so we walk with her, Mary, hand in hand. And as we get to the cross, we become little in her arms. And she lifts us up to Jesus. And in his agony, he opens his swollen eyes, and he can no longer just see the angry crowd, the mob, the hatred, the sin. But he sees us and the love that we have for him. This is what the total consecration to Jesus through Mary is all about. It's recognizing the great role that Mary has in helping us to receive him and to love him and to receive his love. So let us give our heart to Mary. And we know that as we give our heart to Mary, as we consecrate ourselves to her, then we know that she will be the one who leads us to Jesus and helps us to be able to receive him more fully and more worthily.